Okay, 7 o'clock has come. It's time to make a start. Thank you for all the returning folks. There's some who didn't return tonight. I should imagine that last week was quite enough. Thank you. No, seriously. Yeah, tonight we're going to go on and look at the subject of Christian mentoring. And I just want to remind you that there will be notes, and I've got them up the front here, and there'll be some other things for you to receive as well. So let me pray, and we'll make a start for the night. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening with thanksgiving. We thank you, first of all, for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is our teacher. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that it's your desire to use us for your glory and use us so that we can encourage and strengthen and help one another. So thank you, Heavenly Father, for the blessing that you give us. Thank you for all that you have in store for us. And we pray that in the things we learn tonight, we'll be able to apply these things and help others grow in their relationship with Christ. We thank you now. We commit this time to you. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, now we've all heard the old saying, more is caught than is taught. Now I wonder if anybody can tell us what that means. It's an old saying that's been around, more is caught than is taught. Does anybody know what that old saying means? Yes, up the back. People. Okay, all right. I'm just taking it generically now. Okay, all right. That's the point that I really want to make here, and the point you're making is applying those exact things to our lives. So for all of us, you know, you're sitting tonight and you're listening. We can listen and we can take in a certain amount. But if I said to you, how about you come with me? Let's go and visit somebody. Let's share with that person. Let's pray for that person. Let's whatever it is that needs to be done in that environment. When you come away from that, you will come away having learned a whole lot more than if I just told you about it or somebody else gave you a description. Now, this idea about more is caught than is taught has to do with, in the Christian context, with being with people of good Christian character, people with spiritual wisdom, perhaps people with ability to do certain skills. And while we're with them and we observe them, and they might even teach us some things, we can learn from that experience hands-on. Now, what has that got to do with being a mentor? Well, when that principle that more is caught than is taught, in other words, being with somebody, you learn more, when that principle is applied in a formal situation, then we call it by various different names. Let me just bring this up here. We call it by various different names. We might know it as discipleship. Let me go. Is there one before this? No, sorry about that. I've just put a marker in the wrong place on my notes here. That's all right. It's variously known as discipleship. It could be known as apprenticeship. That's exactly how apprenticeship works. It could be modeling, could be coaching, or it could be mentoring. And in the world in which we're living nowadays, the buzzword is mentoring. So this is not just something that we're talking about in Christian circles. This is something that's talked about in business circles. And there are whole companies, startup companies, and their job is to help people to learn how to mentor people within their own business. So things are slightly different. Like discipling is slightly different from apprenticeship, slightly different from modeling, but mentoring really is a word that takes it all into one big category, if you like. A simple definition of a A mentor is a wise and trusted counselor. That's a very simple definition. But here's a specific definition for a Christian mentor. A Christian mentor is someone who, by the example of their life, their spiritual wisdom and godly influence, can help another grow closer to God. And that's the whole point there. It's to do with what we show. It's to do with having the ability to impart something that's worthwhile. It's a godly influence so that it spreads. And the whole idea is so that people will grow closer to God. Now, there's numerous examples of what we're talking about here that can be found in the scriptures. Moses was mentored by his father-in-law, you'll remember, Jethro. Joshua was in turn mentored by Moses. Samuel was mentored by Eli. You might know him as Eli. Jesus mentored his disciples. Barnabas mentored disciples and believers in Antioch. Priscilla and Aquila mentored Apollos at Ephesus. And of course, Paul mentored Timothy. Paul mentoring Timothy is probably the one that we most think of when we think of mentoring in a Christian context. You know, there's many ways in which Paul's words, even though they're words in the Bible, these words seem to come out of the Bible and come down to us and mentor us even today. So, for example, Paul says, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." And because we've got our Bibles and we can read a lot about the Apostle Paul, what he went through, what experiences he had, times he was locked in prison, times he was beaten up, and all of those sorts of things, he says, "Imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Just as I am following in the footsteps of Christ, you follow now in my footsteps. Look at the things I'm teaching you so that you in turn can also follow Christ." In Philippians 4:9, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me." So there's certainly the idea of being with him. "Learned, received, heard, saw. These do, and the God of peace will be with you." You know, we honour our elders in our churches, and that's the right thing to do because God has raised elders by his Spirit. And elders are urged to lead us by mentoring. Peter wrote, "Be examples to the flock." That's mentoring. And the whole idea is there that when we look in our congregation and we see our elders, we see how they relate to other people. We see how they talk to other people. We see something of how they live their lives. And this is exactly what Peter was talking about here. They are examples to the flock. That's why not everybody is an elder, for that exact reason. Now, this might be part of the job description, perhaps, of an elder or pastor or people who are in some sort of authority type of position in the church, but there are actually many, many people in the church who we could say, by the example of their lives, their spiritual wisdom and godly influence, can help others grow closer to God. You can't just have the person up the front do all of the ministry of helping people grow in Christ. It doesn't work that way. One person can't do it. A group of elders can't do it. But you can do it if you're a spiritual person, if you're a godly person, if you're somebody who has that desire to be able to help somebody else grow closer to God. So we'll be looking at that more in just a moment. Michael Hoodman from the website GotQuestions.org writes this: "Christian mentoring is a process dependent upon submission to Christ. Neither the mentor nor the candidate controls the relationship. As such, the process is best characterized by mutual sharing, trust, and enrichment as the life and work of both participants is changed. The mentor serves as a model and a trusted listener, the mentor relies on the Holy Spirit to provide insight, change lives, and teach through the modeling process. So I'm just giving you this from different sort of perspectives so that you get very much in mind that idea of really what a mentor is and what they do. There are many aspects of life in which many of you sitting there right now may be able to act as a mentor. Being a mentor doesn't mean to say that you've got to be a preacher. It doesn't mean to say that you've got to be a deacon. It doesn't mean to say that you've got to be somebody special. You've just got to be somebody whose life can be a model to other people. Somebody who relies on the Spirit of God to provide that insight to be able to help that one who needs help. And you're trusting God that He's the one who's going to bring change into the life. So as to our Christian experience, there are many different aspects of life where mentors can help others. Here's one: financial or legal difficulties. You may get to talk with somebody in the church and they're telling you, oh, we've got a problem with our finances. We just can't work it through. It's so stressful. I don't know what to do. I can't afford to go to a financial counselor. And if there was somebody in the church who had registered as a mentor, somebody who says, I'm prepared to get alongside somebody who's got a financial need and help them work through their problems. They don't have to pay me. I'll do it because as a Christian, I want to help somebody else, because in helping them, I'm helping them in their Christian life. Then you might have somebody else who's got some sort of recurring sin or a habit, something that they just can't break. And this is going to sound a little bit in your face, but sometimes you'll come across people, and yes, there's ladies as well as men, who look at pornography. Now, that is a very difficult subject. And it's a difficult subject because, first of all, nobody wants to talk about that. Nobody wants anybody else to know what they do in their private time when the lights are out and the windows are closed and the curtains are drawn. But somebody who's having a problem in this area will really struggle in the area of their relationship with God, their relationship with other people, and moving on in their Christian life. It's like a falling into a pit. As a matter of fact, and this, I hadn't planned to say this, but as a matter of fact, I attended a seminar in Perth a few years ago where we had a neuroscientist come along, and he said to us, you know, somebody who gets into pornography, and over a period of time, it actually changes the chemistry of your brain, and it becomes just like taking drugs. It is an addiction, and the person will need a lot of help to get out of that situation. Now, some of you are saying, oh, don't send anybody my way. Well, no, you probably won't have to help somebody in this area. But if you did have to help somebody in this area, one of the key things that we do to help somebody who's caught into a sin like that is, first of all, provide them with somebody who'll hold them accountable. So I've said to people in the past, I said, okay, number one, we've got to identify where you're getting this from, and we've got to cut off that access. Number two, I want you to ring me every week. Every week, ring me, and I want you to tell me if you've been tempted, if you've looked at anything, what you've done, so that we can continue to work our way through this. And when you hold somebody accountable, you give them some tools to be able to work through it, that mentors them back to a good walk with Christ. Parents who need help with parenting issues. Sometimes we look at some of the young parents and we think, oh, good night. You know, why don't they take their child and do something about their behavior? Some young people nowadays don't have a whole lot of idea of parenting. Some are very good, but some don't have a whole lot of idea because some of their parents didn't have a whole lot of idea. Matter of fact, we've got a whole lot of problems in our schools and young people growing up in our society because they haven't been taught properly by their own parents to have respect and all the other things that flow. So it may be that perhaps one of the older ladies is going to teach one of the younger ladies how to be a good mum to her children. It might be a young person who needs help to cope with a certain aspect of life. There might have been a death in the family. It might have been a divorce or something like this. And they just need somebody who's older and more mature who will sit down with them and listen to them and let pour their heart out and let them cry and then pray with them and put their arm around them and say, it's going to be all right. You're going to come through this. It might be an emerging leader who needs mentoring to be able to grow from where they are into the next level of their leadership capability. In all of these things, I'm not sure whether you're remembering, but last week we talked about stepping stones, and we want to help people take the next step. And I said to you last week, what we've got to do is find out where they're at, what's going on in their life, what's their situation, and now how can we help them move on to the next thing. And one of the key ways we can help them is by having mentors. And there might be more than one mentor even, working with a person at a time, but in different subject areas. So there are lots of things that people who aren't pastors, who aren't preachers, who aren't elders, lots of things that we can do to help others that we meet in our Christian walk. Let's talk about the mentor as a person. I met a man by the name of David Hornberger. And David was a wonderful man. When he came to Woodvale Baptist, where I was the pastor, David would have been probably in his mid-70s. And he was a lovely fellow. Came along, and he had been an elder in John MacArthur's church in LA, at Grace Community Church there. He'd also been all his life in Campus Crusade for Christ. And he'd been one of the major leaders in LA of this particular Crusade for Christ that I'm sure many of you have heard of, but Bill Bright. And I had the privilege of sitting down with David and picking his brains on this when I was talking to people about mentoring. And I just sat down with him and I said, David, tell me what you think of mentoring. He didn't get a book out. He didn't get a definition out. He just spoke and I wrote it down. He said, A Christian mentor is a person of mature Christian character. That's where he started. He said, somebody who's committed to walking in the Spirit or walking by the Spirit. Somebody who exhibits the fruit of the Spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And somebody who wants to help others. And then he went on and he said this. The mentor is willing to be involved in a life-on-life influence on people so that they can develop a closer walk with God. Well, that's matching in beautifully with the other description that we've looked at. And here's an Australian guy now, John Mallison. John Mallison has written several books on mentoring. And he says Christian mentoring is a dynamic. So it's not static, it doesn't stay the same. It's moving, it's dynamic. It's intentional relationship of trust in which one person enables another to maximize the grace of God in their life and service. I've just realized that the version of this that I bought here wasn't the last version that I was supposed to bring tonight, but that's fine. That's why I'm having a bit of trouble with my clicking. I bought the wrong one. What I was going to highlight back here, and I apologize for this, what I was going to highlight is some of these words here. Look at this. Life on life. Life on life. If you think of somebody as a project, you know, I'm going to help them become better. And it's just a project. It's just what I've got to do. It's what the fella up the front said. If you think of it as being something like a project, forget it. But if you think of it as that person's sitting there and they need some help and I can go and sit beside them and I can cry with them and I can talk with them and I can help them, and I can help them move to the next step. Now we're talking more the sort of thing that we've got in real mentoring. Life on life. It's an influence. So when you sit beside them, immediately there's something being imparted from you to them without you saying a word. Just by the fact that you're interested, you cared, perhaps you put your arm around them, perhaps you sat quietly and just waited for them to say something. But you've got an influence on those people that perhaps they've been looking for or that they haven't had for a long time. And the whole idea, you know, when we come down lower here, we've got this idea of dynamic, intentional, we've got trust, and we've got the idea of moving closer to God. That's always the aim, taking the next step, helping people cross into a more mature life, spiritual growth. Okay, so what are the basic qualities of a Christian mentor? Okay, here's the first couple. The first is Christ-centered. So somebody who's going to be a disciple maker or somebody who's going to have a spiritual impact must, of course, be a spiritual person themselves. A river cannot rise higher than its source. I'm sure we've all heard that old saying. And what it means is if I'm the source of spiritual help to this person, that person cannot rise any higher than where I am. So if I'm somebody who's not living a very good life before the Lord, I don't really care all that much, I'm just doing it because it's duty or whatever it is, that person won't rise any higher than the source. But if you're a Christ-centered person, if your thought is, I want to do this because this brings glory to God, and I want to do this because it's going to help somebody in their real life day by day, and it's going to help somebody in their spiritual life week by week, then you're the right sort of person to come into this. And you need to be passionate about it. Passion is one of the great drivers. When we have passion in what we do, once again, it's this idea of influence. It rubs off. People see it. They pick it up. It becomes an influence in their life as well. So we need to have a passion for what we're doing. We need to be relational. So a mentor needs to be able to establish and maintain a relationship with somebody. Just knowing how to come alongside somebody, to empathize with them, to be able to help them, to make them feel at ease. You know, I think of the situation where there's a death in a family, and I recognize, you know, we've got those in our congregation right now who are going through the grieving process. You know the worst thing you can do for somebody who's grieving? Come along with your five texts and read a text to them as if reading a text to you is going to change everything in your life and you won't be grieving anymore. Or to say something to them like, oh, well, I know it's hard, but you'll get over it. You know, I'm speaking from experience. I lost my mother when I was 17. My father was buried on my 18th birthday. My brother closest in age to me died when I was 21. My next brother died when I was 26. My nephew died the following year. I know what it is to go through grieving. And I know how not helpful it is to help somebody say, oh, you'll get over it. Number one, there's nothing to get over in grieving. It's not a matter of getting over something. I'm grieving because I love. I don't want to get over my love, but I will become adept at living with what's going on. I will learn to cope with it, but I'll never get over it. My brother died 51 years ago. Now, when he died, I don't think I've ever had anything in my life cut me like that, not even the death of my parents when my brother died at 26. He had everything to live for, and he died in a car accident. And when he died, something happened inside me. It caused me to be very careful day by day, whenever I talk with my children, to always finish my conversation by telling them that I love them. I never leave a conversation with my kids without saying, okay, I love you, take care, whatever it might be. I think the last time it happened to me was probably about 4 years ago now, when one day I don't even remember exactly what I was doing, but all of a sudden I remembered John, my brother, and I just started crying. You never get over it. You just get used to the fact that that person is no longer there with you. And it doesn't help to give platitudes. Sometimes the best thing that you can help, and you know, this is a lesson in mentoring. I'm not off subject here. Sometimes the best thing that you can do is to come and just sit down beside the person and just button your lip and say nothing. And let them talk first. Sometimes that's what the best thing is to do. So we need to be relational. We need to learn how to get alongside people. The next thing is we need to be affirming. You know, this idea of talking with somebody is where, and you're wanting to help them grow. You're looking and you're thinking, I can see where this could go. I can see how a time will come when you will be out of debt. If you work your way through this, if we work to a strategy so that you're not just multiplying the debt and giving yourself years and years and years of hardship repaying it, affirming people, helping them to see that you can see the potential in them. Then there's being open and transparent. That's obvious. Mentors have to be believable. Trusting and trustworthy. If your mentee tells you something, then that's not for you to share with anybody else. I had things that people shared with me as their pastor. I never told our elders, unless it was something that was going to affect the whole church, or I needed somebody who would hold me accountable in my working with them. But I didn't go and tell all the story of everything that was happening if that wasn't something that was necessary. We've got to be able to keep confidences. We need to be available. So, you know, if we're going to mentor somebody, we've got to be able to meet them at a time that helps them. Sometimes with people who've got a lot of problems, we've got to meet them once a week for a number of weeks, and then it can become once a fortnight, and then once every 3 weeks, and perhaps once a month, and after, you know, 6 or 8 months or whatever is gone, depending on the subject, it may be that you only meet occasionally just to have a catch-up and see how things are going. You have to be able to facilitate learning, so whatever it is. Now, ladies, if I was in the kitchen and somebody came along and said to me, Colin, would you mentor me by showing me how to cook? I would have to say to them, I've got 2 meals that I can show you how to cook. I don't have any more than that. But I know some lovely ladies who've got a whole swag of recipes and things, and they'll be able to show you in such a way that you'll be inspired and you'll want to become a chef yourself. So you've got to have somebody who's actually able to facilitate the type of learning. I wouldn't spend too much time trying to help somebody work through a legal problem because I'm not legal trained. But I would help them find somebody who's got some legal understanding who would be able to help them work through their situation. The person has to be competent. They've got to be able to, be capable in some of these areas. That's very much like the able to facilitate learning, able to help them, also being competent in what you're doing. And you need to be somebody who's prayerful. Now, I don't mean to embarrass the particular person sitting here in the room, but there's somebody in this room that I mentor, and he and his wife and the unborn child and the other 2 little ones, they're in our prayers every morning. We pray for them every day. Now, we also pray for our pastors, our other pastor and his wife every day as well. But we pray specifically for the person that I'm mentoring, without names being mentioned, simply because we want the Lord to bless him. And we want the Lord to bless him in the ministry, because it's all about helping that person grow closer to God. And all of these things will be things that are helpful in that process. Okay, now what about on the other side of the coin? What about the mentee? So we've got the mentor and we've got the mentee. So the mentee. So in order to establish credibility in what we're doing, the mentor needs to treat the mentee with dignity and with respect. And as the mentor does that, they would expect that the mentee is going to be genuinely interested in what they're doing. They communicate with openness. And they never passively accept what they can change if it's in their power to change. So, yeah, okay, I was talking about Harrison before. When Harrison and I meet together, we talk about something. There's always that idea that Harrison is, if this is something that will help you grow, you need to embrace this and put it into place. Now, I don't say that, but that's implicit in what I'm saying. Don't get me wrong here. It's not a matter of you've got to be like me. You've got to do what I do. That's not the subject at all. The subject is, as things come up in any of our lives, if you're mentoring somebody, a subject comes up and there's an area in which they're able to develop and you're able to help them and they're able to see it, then it's up to the mentee then to take it on from there and to produce the change in their own life as well. We've got to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and that's as the mentor is telling us something that we can say, yes, that does apply to my life. We have to draw on the experience of other people and learn from them and seek out opportunities to be trained. So there's responsibility on the side of the person you're trying to help as well. So the major roles then of the mentor, there's a few major roles that we've got here. The first one is going to be, as a Christian mentor, the first one's going to be discipler. So now this in normally involves establishing a new believer in their relationship with Christ. And we're going to focus on that shortly, and next week that's going to be the whole focus of what we're doing. But there's no reason why everybody in this room can't be a discipler of somebody else who is a new believer, a new Christian. Sometimes we're going to be a spiritual guide. And Paul gives us the example of what a spiritual guide does. Listen to this. This is from Colossians 1:28. Paul says, "He is the one we proclaim." Now he's talking about Christ. "He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ." So he's being a spiritual guide, and that's what he's saying. We proclaim, we admonish, we teach. And why do we do it? To present everyone fully mature in Christ. Another key word here is the word coach. And this may come a little bit more into the area where we're doing something a little bit more practical. But in this process, we want to help somebody succeed in their ministry. So if I was ever going to learn how to use the sound desk up there, I would be saying, "Len, can we meet sometime and can you please teach me how to do this? I don't even know what buttons to turn on." And so Len would sit down with me and he would be the coach and he would be mentoring me. And he would be doing it with the purpose that I would learn how to do this, because in some way that's going to further the ministry. One of the other things is sometimes we've got to be a type of counselor. And sometimes wise, godly counsel can really help. But I don't want to focus too much on that idea of counselor, because otherwise you may have the idea of, well, I'm going to tell the person how to fix up all their problems. And as you'll see in just a minute, it doesn't quite work like that. So what are the principles for successful mentoring? Well, the mentor isn't a parent, and that person isn't there to tell them exactly what they've got to do, not to solve all their problems. The goal of a mentor is to minister, and so it's this idea of walking with people. We've talked about that. The mentor should realize it's God who can bring about real change, not the mentor. He's just a catalyst. He's just a coach. He's just somebody coming alongside me to help me to grow in my relationship with God. And the mentor and the mentee must both accept responsibility. So if you've made an arrangement to meet, both commit to being there at that particular time, or to have some contact to say, you know, I've been held up, whatever it might be. choosing a mentor. Well, really the best way for a mentor to be chosen is for the mentee to look out and say, who can I see around me who fits the need that I have to help me to grow? And then the mentee approaches that person and says something like this: I respect you and I would greatly appreciate your input into my life. Would you be prepared to journey with me? Would you be prepared to help me? That's ideally the way mentoring happens, where the person who needs mentoring asks for it from a particular person whom they trust. We'll come back to that aspect of it shortly. So mentoring opportunities now. Well, here we go. What are these mentoring opportunities? The first one is basic follow-up. And we're going to use, next week, we're going to use some basic lessons for new believers, and we're going to do some of this here. So when you come next week, I'll give you the books, and we'll work our way through those books as if I was mentoring you as a new believer. And I've got a number of things here on the desk in front of me. One of the things that I'm going to give you tonight is not this particular book. Just a minute. There it is. I'm going to give you a copy of this. This will be your homework this week. It's called Steps to Peace with God. And I'm going to ask you to take that home and to read it at least a couple of times during the week, because it's got step one, step two, step three, step four. It's got four steps there. And if you've got something as simple as this, even if you sit with somebody and you just read this with them, you can help lead them through basic ideas of discipleship. In this particular case, it's helping somebody come to the Lord. So on Sunday morning, Harrison has a U-Butte message. Everybody's thinking, wow, that was a powerful message this morning. And a friend of yours comes to you and says, you know, I feel like the Lord's calling me. I just feel like I want to become a Christian, but I'm not quite sure what to do. And then you'd be able to say, let's talk about it. Would you like to have coffee with me during the week? And we'll talk about what it means to be a Christian, how you become a Christian. You know, let me set it out for you in a way that you can understand it. Okay? So you meet together, and out comes steps to peace with God. Here's the first thing. Understand God's purposes for your life. He wants you to have peace and eternal life. God loves you. He wants you to experience these things and to experience a fulfilling life. The Bible says, and so you just walk through with them. It's all there. You've got the things that you can do to help the people to understand the basis of what it is to be a Christian. Just a little tract. Now, it's not a matter of, here, read this. No, it's a matter of, let me walk through this with you, because you want to mentor them in their understanding. And then at the end of it, you ask, do you understand that? And on the back here, this, it tells you what you can do, how you can pray. Pray a sinner's prayer. Receive Christ. You can work through that if they're ready. If they're not ready, give them the tract. Take this home with you and read it. Let's meet for coffee again next week and let's talk about it. Next week they come back and they say, you know that little prayer? And I've had people do this. You know that little prayer you asked me to read through? I prayed that the other night in my bedroom. So you've asked the Lord to come into your life and to be your Savior. Yes, I have. That is absolutely fantastic. Okay, now, I want to help you now to understand in a deeper way what we've just been talking about and how that's going to apply to your life. Will you let me walk with you on how to live the Christian life? And to be honest with you, more often it's the other way around. I have people say to me, I've been looking to find somebody to help me to live the Christian life, and I just can't find anybody. So what are we going to do? Well, we're going to, in what Colin does, and all I'm doing with you is sharing the books that I use, we're going to have a look at something called Prep for Just for Starters. Now, that's a really strange title there. And I'm going to give you a copy of this next week, but in a big version. And with this book, we're going to talk about some important things. Now, let me give you an idea what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the Bible and the fact that it's God's word and you can trust it. How do we know it's God's word? Well, there's external evidence, internal evidence, and technical evidence. Then we're going to talk about man's problem, which is sin. And then we're going to talk about how Christ fits into all of this. Would you like to do that? Sure. So then you've got some materials that you can work your way through. Now, that says prep for, just for starters. That's because just for starters is actually a foundational Bible study program. So I wrote prep for, and there's the program itself. So the first 3 weeks or so is spent here, and then we move them on to here. And then as they're getting along and they're really starting to understand where the scriptures are going, we move them on to here. And suddenly this is like going to university. But I tell you what, this is one of the best universities you could ever hope to go to. This book is called Stranger on the Road to Emmaus. And this book is all about, you know, when Christ met the guys walking on the way to Emmaus after he'd been resurrected, and they were all downhearted, you know. The one we thought was the Saviour, he was crucified, he died. You know, some of them said he'd been resurrected. And it says that Jesus opened to them the scriptures, all the things in the scriptures concerning himself. Well, John Cross, from an organization known as New Tribes Mission, some of you will have heard of New Tribes. I had a lot to do with New Tribes years ago. John Cross wrote this so that he sat down and said, what was it that Jesus might have said to them? All the things contained in the scriptures concerning me, what might he have said to them? Stranger on the Road to Emmaus. This is good for Bible study. Even for seasoned Christians to go through, because it's got Bible all the way through it, it's got the ideas and it's progressive. It takes us through. So what I'm saying to you is that you can't use the excuse of, oh, I don't know what to do. By the end of next week, I think you'll have enough of what to do. It'll be a matter of, who can I find to do it with? And it's a great thrill to be able to help somebody grow in their Christian walk by doing this. For me, in the back of my Bible, Steps to Peace with God. I carry that with me wherever I go, although I have to be honest with you and say I've only just put this one back in there today. But normally I have it in there all the time, so that if I'm visiting a church or after church I meet somebody, I can say to them, all right, would you like to sit down and talk to me about it right now? And I take it out and I do what I'm telling you to do. I simply start at the beginning and I work my way through it with them. That's pretty simple, folks. It's not hard to do this if, once again, this part of mentoring is, I want to do this because I want to see God glorified and I want to see people grow. I tell you what, if every one of us in this church did this, and we looked around us like we were talking last week, saying, what's the next step? What's the next step I can help this person go on? You will find over the space of a year or two, there are people going to come in here who don't know Christ. They've just come as visitors. They've just had a death in the family. They've just lost all their money. They've just had a divorce. They don't know where to turn. They decided to go to a church. Can anybody help me? It could be somebody who comes along and they've been in that situation of having financial needs or whatever, and they're asking for prayer. Who knows what it is? But if you're ready for it, if your spiritual antenna is up, you are ready to help that person take the next step, and you'll also have some things that you can use. And that's what I want to commend to you. So that's what we'll be doing, particularly pardon me, next week. So basic up, follow up of new believers. There's also things like empowering emerging leaders. There's information that we've got there that we can help people work through. Here's one that a lot of people don't think of for mentoring is visitation. You think visitation, that's just going to see if somebody's all right and perhaps praying with them, taking a few flowers or a bit of fruit or something. Well, it can be that. But you know, often when you visit people, they're sick, they might be dying, they might be in a difficult situation, and you can sit with them. And yes, you can pray with them, that's great. Take a little gift, that's great. Take some grapes with it, that's always nice to take, or some whatever. But it may be that what you're saying to them is mentoring them to face the situation they're going through. It's giving them some new affirmation, some new support, some new care, a new friend, somebody who's going to help them work through that. So visitation can be a form of mentoring. Here's another one, life support. And life support, we've already talked about. This is where the financial guidance or helping people with decision-making or legal matters or things of that type. Then there's family growth. And family growth is more than just parenting your children. Family growth can also have to do with, you know, giving strategies of how to move from your children being little children to being teenagers. Sometimes it's to help the parents to move from having their children as little children to being parents of teenagers. Some of those things are not easy in the day that we're living in nowadays. Never really been easy at all for anybody. And, you know, most of us in the room here are parents. But I think it's probably a little bit harder nowadays than it used to be because there's so many other influences saying, don't listen to your parents. Don't listen to God. Don't listen to the church. Don't listen to your Sunday school teacher or whatever it might be. So family growth, areas of supporting. Youth and young adults, that's an obvious one where they need godly counsel and advice. That's especially needed if the young person comes from a broken family. You know, mum or dad are not there and they're just looking for some support and some guidance that they might not otherwise receive. Here's one that I've always been interested in, single and single again. Some people live their whole lives by themselves. And sometimes people, there's a divorce or something like this, and they're single again. There's a ministry to these people. And I love it. We used to have this in a previous church. I love it when some of the older couples come along and they say, you know, we've got a real burden for people who are single or people who are single again. And a little ministry grows up. It becomes a group of people who meet together. They go and have meals together. They might go to a show together. They encourage one another. They pray for one another. And there's always somebody there at the back doing the mentoring in this group of people who are single or single again. It's a wonderful ministry. Sometimes it's conflict, and we need to help people work through conflict. And there's training that we can receive there. I mentioned that one last week. I've conducted many mediations over the years, and you do what you can to try and put families back together. So there are mentoring opportunities for those who want to learn more in these areas. There's recovery programs. That's where somebody is really going through a hard time and it needs specialized stuff, and we can get access to recovery programs. And then probably the hardest one of all is spiritual deliverance. And that's one we don't talk about very often. That's one I don't particularly like talking about. And even for myself, I had some experiences that I've had to work through as a pastor. Sometimes you just can't avoid it, where somebody really has a very deep spiritual need. I had a lady I remember used to come to see me in my office, and sometimes when she was sitting there and she tried to say the name of Jesus and she couldn't, and then she'd go unconscious and she'd fall on the floor and she'd be shaking and so on, and I'd have to try and help her work through it. So I'd be calling the pastor in from next door, you come in as well, let's help this lady get going again. demonic influence is real. It exists. And most of us don't see it most of the time. And praise God for that. We don't want to see it. It's not an area you want to be in. But for some people, this is an area that they just feel that God is leading them into. And that's a specialized area. That does need training. That does need a lot of support if you're going to be in that area of trying to help people in that particular situation. Okay, so we're coming into a close now, so we've got some concluding questions that we need to ask. And it goes like this. Considering my own walk with the Lord, so this is you talking now, considering my own walk with the Lord, is this something I feel qualified to do? Is this something I could do? Or, what are the areas? What areas could I help people in? How could I get alongside somebody? And sometimes when you start to think about it and you think about your own experiences of life, you know the old idea of we comfort those with the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted. God never wastes an experience. And sometimes if he takes us through a really difficult time, you know, in my situation, it was people dying in my family. It gives you an empathy. It gives you a way of being able to sit and talk with somebody, and even though their situation is different, you've got a bit of an idea of what's going on and how you might be able to help them. You might have areas that I don't even think of where you could help somebody. That's something for you to think about yourself. All right? And the other thing is, will I ask the Lord to send people to me? Do I trust that prayer? Lord, if you've got somebody that needs help with bringing up their children, I'm your person. Send them to me, Lord. You start praying that and you're going to find that people are going to start turning up. Or if none of those things are really what you're thinking at the moment, or perhaps they are, but you're not sure how you can help, will I register my details for those seeking a mentor? And what I've got here tonight is a registration form. Yes, you can register for mentoring. And the idea of this is held on file in the office, probably by either the elders or perhaps by Harrison. And you become aware of somebody who needs help. We'll come back to the financial thing again. And you come along to Harrison and you say, Harrison, I've just met a lady. She and her husband are going through difficult things. It seems to me that the major difficulty they're having at the moment is not being able to work their way through financially. Do we have anybody in the church who's registered as a mentor that they're prepared to help somebody else? And Harrison would be able to look at the list, or the elders could look at the list and say, oh yes, here's somebody. This person used to be an accountant, or this person used to be a whatever. They've registered, they said they're willing to help. So now we won't tell that lady this person's name. We'll now contact this person and say, would you be prepared to help this person with this need if this person contacts you? So that's the way you go about it. So I'll be asking you tonight, if you want to register, you don't have to. You don't have to. You don't have to be a mentor. But there's no reason why all of us can't mentor to some degree, particularly in that area of following up people and helping them in their early Christian walk. So that's what we've got for tonight. Now, what I want to leave you with, notes, and these notes have got everything I've been talking to you about mentoring in here, so you can go home and read that again. I'll give you a copy of this, and you can take that home. You can pray about it, think about it, talk to others here about it. And if you feel like you want to register, and that will be held in the office somewhere, we've got to work that part out yet, then bring that back with you next week. And we can put that on file. And if there's a need for somebody to be mentored in a particular area that you think you can help in, then we could use that. The third thing I want to give you tonight, as well as that registration form and the notes, is I want to give you a copy of Steps to Peace with God. And I'm going to ask you, would you please take this home and read through it at least a couple of times during the course of the week and just see how it just sequentially works you through the steps of helping somebody actually come to Christ. So this is ground zero, steps to peace with God. Next week we'll talk about a couple little diagrams that you can draw that are very, very simple. The old diagram of a great chasm and people trying to get across to the Lord by different means. We'll talk about that sort of thing next week. But you can take a copy of this. I'll have them down the front here as well. And if you can, please try and go through that. So when you come next week, you will already have this idea. We won't have to go through all that, and we can move our way on to prep for just for starters. Does anybody have any questions? We've got about 3 minutes. If somebody has a pressing question, otherwise you can see me afterwards. Okay, no pressing questions. That's as much time as I'm going to give you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had of being together tonight. Thank you that these folks are interested in learning about how they can mentor somebody, how they can coach somebody, how they can disciple somebody, how they can help somebody move closer to you. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you haven't made the Christian life something that is so difficult that only somebody who's had a lot of training can do it. You've made it so each one of us in our own area is able to reach out to people that perhaps nobody else has got contact with and help them move one step nearer to spiritual maturity. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving us. Thank you that you've given us your precious word. You've given us your Spirit to be our teacher. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we've got each other so that we can talk with each other and compare notes and encourage one another. Thank you for the power of prayer. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are more desirous of just showing us your love and using us for your glory than we are even to understand, to take it up, and to follow on after your leading. So please, Father, open our eyes, open our understanding, and give us opportunities, we pray, that you might be glorified. Thank you. We ask this blessing in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.